Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We're going to shift gears right now and talk about another crazy case that is going on. This is a case that has all the elements that make the public stop in their tracks. A missing teenager, a shocking discovery, and a celebrity's name tied to it all, if you can pronounce their name. Earlier this month, a Tesla abandoned in the Hollywood Hills was towed to a lot. 2 days later, staff noticed a foul odor. When police opened the trunk, they found the decomposed body of 15-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez, a girl who had been missing for more than a year. The Tesla was registered to singer David Anthony Burke, or D4VD, as he spells it, a rising star in the music world. His career was surging until, suddenly, it was derailed by this connection to a tragedy that is now the center of a criminal investigation. Right now, there are more questions swirling than answers. No cause of death has been released as of this recording. No one has been charged, yet the fallout is already massive for Celeste's family, who are grieving. And for David, this is how he says his name, David, whose career has been effectively frozen. Today, I want to dig into the issues with someone who knows the system from both sides, defense attorney and former prosecutor Eric Fattis joining us. Eric, let's start with the obvious on this one. A body in the trunk of a car tied to a celebrity. What does a prosecutor see, and what does a defense attorney see in just that headline?
Tony, I think both of them see that this case is going to have a national presence, that there is going to be eyes on this case. And so both sides really have to ensure that they are crossing all their T's and dotting all are crossing their T's. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if you're going in the world of David, you can spell it any way you want.
Right. That's right. Letters don't matter anymore.
The I's, dot the T's.
That's what, something like that. But yes, yeah, certainly, you know, anytime that there is a young woman, a minor, a child who is deceased in a car, that is going to get national, or is likely to get national acclaim in some respects. So, you know, it's going to be a big case either way. Investigation has to ensue promptly and diligently and properly on both sides. And so very high stakes. I'm sure both attorneys are looking at it from that view.
Eric, how do you go into something like this? It's your car and there's a body in the trunk. How in the hell do you defend this? I mean, I know I'm just putting a blanket statement over, just, you know, give me what you would do. But if this lands on your desk, I mean, what's your first thought when you see a case like this? This is a tough one.
Certainly alarming. How in the world did a minor female's dead body get in your client's car? That's a tremendous question.
Right?
You know, from the defense side, my understanding is that David may have been on tour or outside of the vicinity when the body was discovered. That doesn't mean he didn't do it. But there's you know, they've got to tie David to being involved in however this poor girl died. And my understanding is that they pulled like surveillance video from David's residence at the time in California, and they're asserting that, hey, if Celeste would have been in contact with David, she would have been on the video. So there's investigation that's going on. They're interviewing people. They're trying to learn their client's whereabouts. They're trying to learn the time of death and cause and manner. All of those things are open questions.
Obviously, registration doesn't necessarily equal possession of the body. Prosecutors have to prove who had control when that body was placed. Does a body in your registered car automatically tie you to the murder, or is it the ownership versus possession question? Is that a legal firewall for the defense on this?
It certainly raises some eyebrows, obviously. But that being said, you know, from defense perspective, I think that what they're going to look at is, hey, this guy was a big star. He probably had a team around him. He probably had assistants, liaisons, that kind of thing. And sometimes those folks have access to residences, to vehicles, that kind of thing. And so there may have been other people who had access to the vehicle. And I'm sure defense is exploring that now to see, hey, could it have been someone else who was involved and tried to pin this on David while he was on tour? Because that'd be a pretty common sense frame job if someone was trying to frame a person.
Right.
There's a lot of questions about what was going on here. Obviously, this girl was missing for over a year. I mean, that's quite a time. And when they found the body, from what we understand, it was in a very decomposed state. So it had been there for quite some time. So we don't know exactly how long she had been dead for and have been missing for a year, but it certainly wasn't like she died the week prior and was sitting in the trunk. That long missing window, I mean, it does seem to complicate the timeline a little bit, widens the opportunity, but also kind of hints at, you know, if this woman who was missing was connected to David, and the mom has now said that she believes her daughter had a boyfriend named David. That's all we've heard, is just that statement. There's a lot to dig into there, or a lot of questions that we have there. Does that point us, and obviously I should say this, David, the singer here, never been charged with anything as of yet, maintains innocence. We just haven't really made any statements, but does this kind of hint that there's some sort of connection? And there's obviously concerns of grooming and things of that nature, considering she was, you know, 14 when she disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. So the relationship makes David suspect number one, especially when her body is found in a vehicle registered to him. On top of that, like you said, you have this sort of power differential between this very wealthy and gaining popularity star, David, who is older, and I believe that he is an adult now, whereas Celeste has always been a minor throughout the whole thing, although their relationship may have started when they were both minors. That being said, you know, David can assert some power over a person under those circumstances. He could, you know, try to get that person to do what he wanted to. And so certainly that connection is there. But that, like you said, that time frame is a pretty big window. And unfortunately, you know, with runaway teens and things like that, they can come in contact with other nefarious individuals. That's something both sides have to look at.
Both Celeste and David, from what we're understanding, had the same matching tattoo on the same finger. That, I think, is a piece that is making a lot of people question, okay, this seems like maybe it wasn't one of your homies. Maybe it wasn't part of your posse that had this connection with you if you have matching tattoos going on and your body is found in the car of the guy that has the same matching tattoo. It doesn't look good. I mean, it's not to say that she couldn't have just been a crazy fan and that there was, you know, part of the posse, part of his crew that were hanging with her and then decided to put the body in the trunk and not tell David. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. The easy one to go to is, of course, she has the same tattoo, she's missing, and she's in the trunk of a car, and oh yeah, David has a music video where he's putting a body in the back of the car. What do you make of the tattoo connection?
You know, one thing I think it shows is alleged power and control that David had over Celeste. You know, look, Celeste was a minor. My understanding is she generally cannot get a tattoo on her own. And yeah. So David was willing to sort of skirt those laws and do as he pleased in terms of making sure they had the same tattoo. They have a connection there that is permanent for lifetime unless the tattoo is removed. Now, these are all just allegations at this point, but it certainly looks like an older man who is getting a matching tattoo with a minor, and that's a horrible look and kind of goes to power and control, at least if you're the prosecution.
I didn't think about the aspect that she was too young for a tattoo. That never even crossed my mind. That's an excellent point. You need parental permission for things like that.
Typically, yes, unless you have means and resources and influence of people who correct. Are willing to, you know, do whatever because you're a star and sort of overlook some of the more seedy details potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, this at a minimum, this girl had been missing for more than a year. Let's just take murder out of the equation for a moment here. I mean, because we don't know exactly how she died as of yet. Obviously, the body was stored. Someone didn't want it to be found. Or maybe they did because they put it in a place where eventually it would be found. But if we take that out of the equation, let's say she was hanging with this group and touring with them. And, you know, one of the groupies, essentially. I mean, there's movies about this. And, it looked a lot more romantic when it was on Almost Famous, you know, where you got the big sunglasses and, oh, this is just
that's
cute. But in reality, this is what it is. It's not like, oh, you're just part of the group. No, you're probably being passed around by a lot of people in this group. That whole element to this, it would be kidnapping, would it not? I mean, if they're holding and abetting a runaway, essentially, is that kidnapping? If you're keeping, if they're going along with you, whether or not they're, I guess, physically restraining, maybe the other part of this. But what wouldn't there be a possibility of charges in that element alone of taking this minor with you on the road wherever you go? Take the murder out of it first.
It's an important point, and it would usually be something within the context of like harboring a juvenile who's a runaway.
Okay.
Because even if she is consensually consorting with these folks, it doesn't mean that you can just keep her from her family. There are certain laws that prohibit that kind of thing. And so right there, that's problematic. And in fact, there are some videos that I've seen that purport allegedly to show David with Celeste like doing podcasts and stuff like that together. And so there's substantial evidence that they were together while she was a runaway. That alone is a potential legal problem for David.
Yeah.
I've seen some of those videos that have popped up. I think some people have tried to debunk it. I think TMZ may have debunked one of them. But there's more than one that's out there. And there are several videos where, I mean, it's not a perfect shot, but it does look like it could be her. And considering the connection there, it's certainly not out of the question that she would be popping up on concert videos and such. If she's part of the crew at some point in time. I want to talk to you about what's going on here with the body itself. Found wrapped in plastic, badly decomposed. The cause and manner of death are still very pending. Until the medical examiner rules, there's no homicide charge that's going to stick. Prosecutors are basically, you know, handcuffed until the medical examiner actually speaks. Why is that ruling so critical before charges can even be considered here?
it's critical based on the medical examiner's role. So that role in part includes determining the cause of death and the manner of death. Manner of death can be accident. It can be suicide. It can be homicide. Cause of death can be corroborative of that manner. And so before you bring a murder case, you want to know how the person died, because, you know, if you're not able to establish that predicate fact from the outset, it gives defense all of these outs to say, hey, we have no idea that she was even murdered. She could have, you know, fallen off a out of a window or something, and then people tried to cover it up. Or there's tons of concoctions that can happen on the defense side when you don't have a firmly established cause and manner of death, and you get that from a medical examiner.
How important is digital evidence going to be in this case?
You know, I think it's going to be substantial. We talked about possible alleged video showing them together. There's no, that has not been conclusively determined. But also that there's evidence in David's art, according to some, that seem to reference Celeste. And then on top of that, you know, in this digital age, especially with minors, they're constantly using their devices to communicate, to make plans, to talk about problems. All of those things are going to come up. And I imagine the government, if they haven't already, are drafting search warrants for those digital devices as we speak.
The LAPD has seized a computer and other items from a home that was tied to David's manager where he was staying. I find that interesting, the word staying. Like, I don't know that David had a place. I don't know if David was homeless technically. I mean, like, he's a singer, but he's pretty new. I don't know that he was super rich or anything yet. But you know, he's going around, he's making his music. He's, you know, he's very new in this world, but they did seize that. You're looking at that. Another interesting aspect to this, because I went down the rabbit hole a little bit yesterday on this case and started looking at the Reddits and started looking at the Discords and all that for this. What I have gleaned off of looking into all of that, there appears to have been, again, all alleged, accounts they believe were David's, that were interacting with the group on the Reddits, on the Discords, and things of that nature, that now have suddenly gone back and deleted a lot of information. Areas where they're talking about Celeste, areas, things that may look like there's a connection. I don't necessarily, say anything, you know, criminal. There wasn't anything where, like, I'm going to kill her, but any semblance of connection, I would say, I guess, to her there seems to be an attempt of it being scrubbed from these boards as of right now, which were just fan discussion at one point in time. Now you have death involved here. That's that doesn't look good.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way.
hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice, and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.